This podcast is brought to you in association with Inside Out and PrideNZ.com.
So, hi everybody. So this is my first workshop. So bear with me. It's just about the intersectionality between people of faith or have come from a background of faith and identify with the diverse range of sexuality, sexes and genders. So, if you want to start.
Yeah, as I said, I'm Christoph, I'm originally from Austria. I'm part of the Roman Catholic Church because I was baptized and had my first communion and confirmation, I think. I don't feel part of the church anymore, but in Austria, the Catholic Church has a strong influence in everyday life, so it's part of my home culture and part of who I am and how I grew up. Just an example, it's just going deep into politics, that parties listening to the bishop conference and getting advice from them, that we have laws that when you're part of the church that part of your salary is deducted. So it's kind of like the whole lifestyle in Austria is very dominant Catholic, and that's how I grew up in Austria. I also worked a long time for a Catholic children's organization. Just worked volunteering under the family bishop in Austria. Who has quite a strong stance against homosexuality. So, that's one part of my difficult story. Shall I continue, or do you want to introduce him?
You can continue.
Faith and spirituality is hard to explain for me. As I said, I've worked for the Catholic organization. And in this setting, I was out. So there were employees who got paid in the office, and there were volunteers, and they all knew that I identified as gay back then, and they all knew that I was gay, just not in the hierarchy of higher up, so the bishop and the priests. They didn't know that I'm gay, not because I didn't tell them, but just it never came up. And on the other side, I worked as well for a gay and lesbian organization and did kind of a school's art project there. I was leading the project, and I had kind of those two worlds at the same time. And I think that's often the struggle with combining your faith with your sexuality or gender identity, that you have to get this balance right. And for a long time, for me, the balance was okay, and in the setting of the Catholic church, I could change small things, but you can't change the whole institution at once, just as an individual. And for me, it was more living my spirituality in this setting, and and it was fine for a long time for me, but at some stage I felt more like myself in the setting of the gay and lesbian organization, of the volunteer work I did there, because they accepted more of me rather than the Catholic setting where I worked in. And in Austria, you can drop out of the church, so you can decide you don't want to be part of the Roman Catholic Church anymore, and then you don't have to pay your fees from your salary anymore. That's what a lot of people do when they are fed up with the church or have problems, then they just drop out of it. And at some stage I did that because I couldn't balance it anymore, because I felt more like myself in the one setting and less as a whole in the other setting, because I always had to please and just stretch myself into a direction I didn't want to. Yeah.
So I grew up in a... Well, my mum is Christian, and we were going to church, and... I was baptized as a child. I had my first communion at our family church, and that sort of thing. And I think, yeah, so like I did some youth work through some churches as I was sort of growing up, and yeah, I guess that trying to find where you can fit when you don't know people's views and how you can sort of subtly slide that into a conversation and stuff like that. So I guess like I still identify as Christian, although my values may be somewhat different to what others see as Christian. I think like I've sort of made my own definition to it because of what it is to me, if that makes sense, you know. So yeah.
Cool. Kia ora whanau. I was born and raised in the Mormon faith. Both my parents are strong Mormons, and my great-great-grandma was a part of the push to get a RDS church in Niue, a Niuean Samoan, and yeah, and I'll touch base on my story after that introduction.
Hi everyone. My one is a bit complex, but yeah, I'll try to explain as much as I can, but feel free after the session to ask me questions. I was born in a family that didn't attend church. We didn't have a religion as such, which is quite weird in a Pacific family. But when I did attend church and associate myself with religion, it was when my auntie came in the picture. And it was with a Christian church. And, you know, I went about my journey trying to find myself in the church, and things didn't work out as well as I wanted it to. Eventually, I discovered a belief in a congregation that I'm currently with, and we're called the Essenes. We're a mixture of Christian practice as well as Jewish messianic practices as well. Just a bit of context for you guys, the Essenes existed. It's an ancient faith, and it existed in the time of Jesus, or as we call him, Yeshua, in the Hebrew language. They've been known for writing the Dead Sea Scrolls, and they practice spirituality, they practice healing, and they're quite accepting of diverse genders and sexualities as well, which was another reason why I was quite open to it. But yeah, thank you.
Hi. So when I was little, I was like 2 and my parents split up. So when I was at Dad's, I was pretty much half raised by my nana, who she would like come to our house every like 2 to 3 times a week, and every time she's there we'd have like Bible time. I'm Christian, by the way, and have like Bible time, and she'd read me Bible stories. And when I never really went to church, but that was like what I like got. And then so that continued, and then July last year she passed away. So and then I started going to like a youth group in Mount Eden because I felt like I needed to, because like that's what she'd want for me. And but then when I was there, I realized I actually enjoy it and I actually like follow it and stuff. But yeah, like I don't know, I don't really identify as a Christian, but I still go, like, because I don't know, I kind of, like, some of the messages are quite good, like, because the youth group I go to, not all of it's, like shoving, like, religion down your throat and stuff. It's mainly, like, some of them are really good, like, life messages, like, respecting your body and stuff like that. So, yeah.
So, are you open about your faith in queer spaces or with queer people, and how has that been received?
I'd probably, like, I'm not as open about it as I'd actually like to be, and I think that's often because sometimes religion can be made into such a joke as well, you know, especially in queer spaces, I think. So yeah, not as much as I'd like to be. Yeah.
It depends. Yeah, sometimes it's hard to be to talk about religion or faith in a queer setting, because a lot of people had problems in the past that the church was not very accepting. A lot of people just are really fed up about the whole institution itself, detached from what it actually should be and mean. So there was a lot of hate going on, and was the same in Austria as in New Zealand probably like 30 years ago, when faith groups just raised a lot. And well, at the moment I'm trying to find back or find my spirituality again, but in the past I would have liked to be more open about it. But yeah, as you said, jokes and some reluctance, or like just fear of being missionary, kind of. Yeah.
I don't think religion or faith should be hidden. I'm quite open to it. And I guess that's just how I've been raised. And if someone has a problem with it, oh well.
Yeah, I agree with Serenice. I think a lot of my rainbow friends know what faith I follow. I do also agree that maybe there's an opportunity for more discussion around it, because I see that there's some spaces where there's a need for it. Because as well as home, school, and in the community, within the community, the church, I guess talking about the church is not talked about enough. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's definitely needed.
Yeah, I'm not really like open about my faith and like queer spaces and stuff, because I feel like it could make some people uncomfortable. Like they could feel like uncomfortable with me. Maybe they think like I'll judge them or something. But yeah.
Is there a place where you feel accepted to share both of your identities? I guess at home. Does that count? You know, like, I think I've been really blessed with the family that I have. My mum is Christian and has similar values and sort of defines Christianity herself with, you know, different, yeah, anyway. Yeah, they're really loving and accepting of, I guess, where my sister and I identify and how we are just ourselves. So I guess home's pretty much the main thing for me.
My parents are not very religious, never have been. The last time I felt accepted both things was when I went with my partner to church last Christmas. Yeah, he was raised atheist, which is quite funny because he gets more into faith the older he gets, and I'm going in the other direction, which is a little bit hard to balance. But that was when I felt okay with both things.
When I was 13 years old, I was shifted to go stay with my dad's brother, who holds the priesthood within our family, because he's the eldest brother. And I had my life planned out for me, that I would attend church college. At this time, I was still within my safe space, trying to figure out who I was as a person. And I knew that I was different, and I knew that I was attracted to boys. I knew that I wanted to be a girl, and it was against the teachings of the gospel within the Mormon faith. So I had to like quickly think of how am I going to get out of this situation, because my life has already been planned for me. So I decided that I'm going to have a fight with my cousin and get kicked out and shift it back to my parents. And that's exactly how it played out. So I got shifted back to my parents, and I knew that this was a start for me, because if my life was planned out for me, I'll be doing everything for people, not for myself. And then at the age of 16, I continued to go to church, and within the Mormon faith, there's like tiers of like the runner priesthood, and then priests and teachers, and I got up to the tier of priest, and I just knew it wasn't right for me. And even having the having the role of serving sacrament, it was a little bit too much for me, because I didn't want to wear a suit and tie. I wanted to wear a skirt like all the other girls. So one day I had to plan like, what is this going to look like for me, because I'm so caught up with the Aaronic priesthood, that if I was to rock up to church in a skirt, how are they going to approach the situation? And so one day I decided to go to church in a skirt, and I was asked to go and speak to our bishop, and the bishop had said to me that what I'm doing is really, really wrong. And I despaired, because I had worked up so much courage just to wear the skirt to church. And everyone was looking at me like I was a thing, not I was a person, I was a thing. I tried to hold my pride, and speaking to the bishop, and the bishop telling me that what I was doing was wrong, was clarification that maybe this church isn't the right church for me, because there's like a sign in front of our church that says all welcome, and clearly that there was no welcome for people like myself, and still at this age I was still trying to find my identity, or find myself as a person, knowing that I wanted to be a woman, knowing that I'm trying to create safety plans for me to express that. Just all the relationships and the history of being raised in the church, it was like it was put to the side, like I never existed, and no one contacted me. And then I found out that I was excommunicated from the church, because when you look at words like abomination, it's that word actually means if you know you're doing something wrong, it's an abomination, whether it's against the values and principles of your faith. For us, that's abomination, and apparently I was an abomination at that time. And within this time, I always gave the anger and frustration to God, because I didn't really understand why I wasn't put onto this earth, because everything just wasn't going according to my plan that I had set for myself. If you are familiar with the Bible, there's a story about Job and how Job was tested, because he had so much integrity for God, and just finding that love for God in your heart, it's such a powerful feeling, that regardless what people say, whether you're transgender, or you're from the rainbow space and you're a Christian, it's not really valid to me. It doesn't really hurt me, because I found that place with God. I've given my heart to God. And going back to Job was he endured so many challenges, and I feel like I can relate, because like losing friends and all these people so close to you, or people you thought were so close to you, just disappearing. And like for me, I don't blame them, because it came as a shock. I didn't approach and say, hey guys, because I didn't know myself. But I really thought that out of all people, my own like congregation would be there supporting me, and clearly it wasn't what I had planned. But anyways, for me, when I look at what is a Christian, although, you know, our faith is, or religion's Mormon, I believe like a Christian's a follower of Christ, and in order for to live the teachings of, you know, what God has planned for us, there needs to be like open discussions around like you know, faith and religion, and people get like you know, spirituality and stuff mixed up with like religion and faith, and yeah, for me I'm like really clear and like my principles and my being as a person. So, yeah. Did that answer your question?
I'm just buzzing up because I'm seeing a lot of similarities in what my panelists have said, and I'm pretty sure there's similarities within all of our stories when it comes to faith and church and religion. Like Terenice, some of the spaces that I have felt uncomfortable being myself or expressing myself in my worship to God has been when I was in the Christian church, and it's not a representative of the whole Christian church, but just that church in particular, where at the time I was a part of the worship team, and you know, every Sunday I'd be singing on that stage my worship to God, and part of me felt a bit conflicted because I didn't feel like I had a right to be on that stage singing worship because of who I was. And when things kind of unfolded, and the news broke out that I was the way that I was, that I was gay, and at that time I had a partner, like my sister Terenice, I started to see that a lot of the people that I thought were my real friends started to reveal themselves in their true intentions. And you know, I can definitely say it's the most heartbreaking thing as a young person to go through. But at the same time, there's always hope at the end of the tunnel. And I look back now on my journey, and I just think how fortunate I am to be in the space that I am at, where I feel confident in myself and my faith. And I'm in a place now, that I feel comfortable, you know, the faith that I practice, you know, they're so accepting of gender and sexuality, diverse people, that I remember on the first day I sat down on my first kind of worship session, and my partner Alex, who I think a lot of you have met, but some of you haven't, he had been going to this faith before, and a lot of his family members is in this faith as well. And I remember the first time that I went to this congregation, and the thing that kind of stood out for me that made me aware that I was accepted was when the we call it our rabbi, or some of you call it your pastor, so it's our teacher, he got up on the session and he said, I would just like to welcome Alex and his partner Peter. And that was one of the most like fulfilling things that I've ever felt in my life, because upon entering the building of the worship, it kind of, I felt uncomfortable already, because in my mind I had already built up situations in my mind of what was going to happen. People were not going to accept me. People were going to call me, you know, all everything under the sun. But then when that happened, it kind of opened my eyes to the fact that, yes, you can be rainbow, and yes, you can worship God. And also the fact that we shouldn't be defined by what people say about us. So in a sense, it's an encouragement to myself and to us all, that if you do want to practice a belief or a faith, then continue on it. Don't let the world discourage you from following that path for yourself. Discover it for yourself, because I feel like we're all at this stage where, I know for myself as well, where I'm still discovering new things every day, and it will always be a learning process. There's never an end point where you'll get to that where you will say, I definitely know who I am. You know, you're always discovering it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can you please repeat the question?
So that was... is there a place where you feel accepted to show both of your identities?
Mm-hmm.
Not really. Like, school, I kind of don't, like, share both, because it's, like... Because my school's very, like, culturally diverse, so there's a lot of different religions and stuff, and, like, maybe if I share my ideas or my thoughts, it may offend someone, or I don't really want like an argument or something. Mm. And about like my sexuality and stuff, I'm not really out at school or anywhere else but to my parents. And last year, like, rumors got out about me, and then I found out, like, what you're saying, like, the true friends. My friends were telling me to get out of the girls' bathroom because I was going to perv on them or something. So they, as soon as I went to the bathroom, they would leave or stuff like that. So, and yeah, at church, I don't really, like, I'm not out. And yeah.
Okay. What are some things that you would like people to know about your faith?
You can be religious or Christian or whatever, and you don't have to be a bad guy. You know, like, I think so often people are like, oh, Christians are terrible people, like, they're off doing protests and doing all these really terrible things all over the world. But actually, like, there are, you know, you've got to get to know the individual. You can't judge everyone for that. And I guess that's one thing that it's sort of like, oh, you're a Christian. And it's sort of like, have a kōrero with me about it and find out how I, like, why I identify as that, and, you know, sort of unpack it a bit, because there are so many different religions. Even on this panel, you know, we see that there's a variety, and, you know, although we may have the same title to what we identify as, we often have those different values and that sort of thing. So I guess just acknowledging individuals within that title, yeah.
A little bit sidetracking probably from the question, but following up on what you said, I use spirituality more often because I'm very reluctant to use the term religion or religious, because for me it's always this whole institution that is against me rather than what I actually feel with the church and with my faith. That's why I'm, yeah, I wish I would have been braver to go the path along rather than just say I had enough and I don't want to deal with it anymore. Yeah. And yeah, I think that's something to be to find your own pathway, and everyone has to shape their own faith how it feels good for them, and I think that's one important part. It's always a, there's no goal, you know, it's always a pathway, and you always learn new things, and I think that's exciting, but also a little bit worrying as well, because yeah, you're not sure where to go and what comes along. Yeah.
Sorry.
No. What are some things that you would like people to know about your faith?
I think I've already shared the majority of it. But I guess the faith that I follow, we practice a lot of... it's so hard to find a word for it, but I'll just use spirituality, yeah. We're less likely to use the term religion. We're more associated with the word spirituality, because we kind of see... How we see... we have this approach where we see all religions as a part of God, you know. Therefore, our study, when we study every Sunday, so we have our worship on Saturdays, because in our belief, that's what we believe, that the original Sabbath was on Saturdays. And on Sundays, we have our studies. And what we do is we study about every religion under the sun. We've recently learned about Buddhism, and we're continuing to make our way around. So I believe, we believe, like I said, that every religion represents a part of God, and His nature is represented in every single religion. And I feel like for me, that's helped me see people for who they are, and see their belief as something really beautiful, rather than, you know, relying on the media or the people around me as a source for a label for certain religions. So, yeah, that's been really helpful for me anyway.
Oh, yeah, just that, like, you don't have to follow everything in the Bible. Like, you can take the bits that are closest to you, like, and, but, like, when people, like, use the Bible to insult people, like homophobia and stuff, they just take the bits that are, like, gonna hurt people, but they don't follow everything, and it's like, well, if you're gonna follow something so strictly, then you're gonna, then you should follow others, like, but, yeah, like, for me, I ignore, like, the homophobic parts of the Bible, because I'm like, well, that's not relevant to me, so I'll follow the stuff, like, that's, like, good teaching and stuff.
I thought, for me, like, being raised in, in the church, it was more, like, I think, like, a lot of, like, our Pacific or, you know, like, religion and culture is always mixed, and they try and combine the two to, like, dig their comfort or suitability. And, yeah, it's such a confusing... it's confusing to get just of it. But, yeah, I've been, like, I do workshops and stuff in schools with young people and within the professional setting as well, and, like, people always come at me with, like, religious stuff, and, you know, for me it's like, if we're looking at, you know, trying to find a religion, you got to be okay with yourself, because you know, if you're okay with yourself, like, what people say really isn't valid.
Thanks. What would you say to people who might be stuck in the middle between their faith, their gender, sexuality, or sex identity, feeling like they need to choose one or the other?
Sorry, if you don't mind that I start. Don't choose one or the other. Continue being you. I know there may be some cases and situations where you feel like you have to, and sometimes you, sometimes in situations where you might feel like you're in danger, or you might be putting yourself in a risky situation, it may just mean that you have to for that meantime. But for the long run, and I know it's a continual process that we each have to go through individually, but I think it's a learning that a lot of, I don't speak on behalf of my partners, but I'm pretty sure it's a learning that we've all taken, that along the way you kind of find that both the identities merge, and then, you know, it's a growing thing where you start to learn that, hey, I don't need to separate them, I could be both at the same time, and I can still be accepted. So yeah, I guess it's just knowing as well that there are people out there who accept people who, let's say, are gay and are Christian at the same time. It's completely normal, and there are people out there like that, so just be open to it.
Yeah, I, like, agree. Like, you shouldn't have to pick. You should, like, find your middle ground. Like, you don't have to follow everything that's not relevant to you. So, say if you're, like, queer and you want to follow things from the Bible, you can just choose those things and just follow them.
And, like, Christians don't say pick one or the other. It comes down to you as an individual. Of what works best for you.
Enjoy the journey. You know, it's easier said than done, I guess, when you're at the end of it. But I think really valuing that actually your journey to figuring out where you're at and how you want to identify, whether that's faith-wise or gender sexuality, I think just really embrace it and go with it, and yeah, you totally don't need to choose. I definitely agree with that. And there are supports out there too, though, as well, like queer spaces or faith spaces, or, you know, like, I think there are supports there, so I think you're also not alone, because you know, we've all been through similar things as far as the journey goes, you know, and I think lots of people go through that journey, so definitely, yeah, keep going. And it does continue, like, it doesn't stop, but it just maybe gets a little easier after a while, so I think just definitely, yeah.
I think find the right people. You will meet a lot of people who would discourage you and let you choose one or the other, and I think they just don't get it and they don't get you and they don't understand where you are. And I think if you search for other people, you will find your way easier. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I often wished I would have met people earlier or on a different stage, but yeah, that's just part of the journey as well. And I think that people make the church because that's like when you have priests who just are totally out of context, it's easy to discourage you to follow your faith, and then you meet others where you can be who you are and what you want, and it's so easy to live how you are. Yeah. I would always just say find the right people.
This is sort of a strange question, but how does faith make you feel, or your faith, how has it benefited you?
Being connected to the church, it's a sense of belonging. And I know, like, within my heart that God has a plan for me, and in order for me to get to where he wants me to be, that there's going to be all these challenges that come onto this path of my journey. And I know that we're just like renters in this world, that there's a better world after this life, but we need to live this life in order to get to that life.
Like Tony's, I agree with the sense of belonging, and also in the year 2013 I was really fortunate, because there was a marriage or a bonding ceremony held for me and my partner, which is really, really special. And it was the first of its kind that was done in our congregation. So that was like the stamp on the letter to say, yes, you are definitely accepted. So that's how it's made me feel, and it's continued to build spaces where I can discuss more and educate the people in our congregation about who we are and what the other identities are in the rainbow space. But yeah, I also feel like, with that whole well-being thing, you know, when we're unwell, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, having a faith really centers you. And, after a long week, you get to that place where you get to worship, or where you get to let things out. And it's an awesome place to be able to express who you are and express your feelings. And I think that works right across the board with all faiths. Like, it's such an awesome opportunity and platform for you to express who you are, whether it's in prayer or whether it's in music or using any kind of medium. I think it's awesome.
I do kind of feel isolated sometimes at church, because like some of the preachings are like homophobic and stuff, and then you feel like it's targeted to you because you're sitting there and you've got all these thoughts going through your head, and they're saying that like you're wrong and stuff like that. Because earlier this year I went to like a Christian camp, and it was like a 4-day camp, and one of the nights the preaching was, this man, he was telling a story about when he was driving home, he saw a billboard saying like the S word or something, and he was saying how like despicable it was that these things were on billboards. And then he goes ahead and talks about K Road, and he said that there's like same-sex couples on billboards and how it's so disgusting and an abomination and stuff. And I was just sitting there thinking like, am I an abomination? Is this targeted at me? So, but I feel like it kind of has made me stronger. Like,
I think there's definitely like that, that isolation to it, eh? Like, I think definitely, trying to find the people that have those values that are similar or same to you, and making those supports is really, really powerful, and having those people to sort of, that encouragement as well, and, you know, reminding you you're not alone, that sort of thing. I think that's been really great. But I think, like, I was doing youth work in a local church, and one of the other youth workers there was very clear on where his values lay. And I went and spoke to one of the pastors and said, actually, you know, where does the church values lie? We're around non-hetero, non-binary, that sort of thing. And there was never a straight answer. I was never able to be told an exact answer, and I think that's when I was able to say, well, you know, like, this isn't for me, like, this isn't the space, I don't need to be, I guess, like, put down in what I was doing because of the other person's values. And so I think, yeah, definitely finding those people that are encouraging you, right, and, you know, being okay to stand up and acknowledge that you're worth so much, and you definitely don't, yeah, I think just finding the people is so important. And I think, yeah, they're definitely the people and that will stick by you, and they're the huge benefit, I guess, of the whole journey. So
Sorry. And in any setting, you know, you go by the fruits of that. You know, if you go into a church and you just feel that negative energy, you know, some churches are, you know, preach false, you know, preachings, and that's not teachings of God, that's teachings of, it's man-made teachings. So yeah, just look at the fruits of the church, or, yeah, and if it doesn't align with what you think God has, you know, created for us, go to another church.
Yeah, I think there's some sense of joy and together, being together and bringing people together is very strong for me. And it's this, the core of most religions is just to think about the others as well. No one is less important than you are. About being, showing empathy to others, and just having this this sense of being together on this earth and helping each other and standing up for each other. And I think that's what makes me who I am, and that shaped quite a bit of my personality as well. And I found it through faith and through religion.
Thank you. What do you think queer communities can do to be more inclusive of people of faith?
Don't be afraid to question. You know, I think, like, there are so many things that people just don't want to talk about or find it awkward to talk about, but I think just sitting down and having a corridor is just so amazing, and having discussions and, you know, learning about things and asking about things and questioning yourself, questioning others. And I think making queer spaces a safe space to do that, because I think there's just so many spaces where we already don't feel safe. And I think being able to make the queer spaces stronger and more supportive to everyone, yeah, I guess just making discussion times okay, and yeah, I guess just that openness to, actually, we might not agree on things, but that's okay as well. You know, that's respect and safe spaces and the judgment-free, and also sort of the jokes, I guess, is a huge thing for me. So I guess just being careful of where other people's values lie versus what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, talking about it is, I think, a very important factor. Just addressing the elephant in the room, because we're providing spaces where we come together, and of different ethnicities, of different cultures, of different sexualities, gender identities, and we're so open. But there's this elephant in the corner which nobody wants to talk about, and it's it's often the faith that there's this silence and we just change topics because everyone feels awkward talking about it, and I think we should overcome this feeling of awkwardness and feeling uncomfortable, yeah. And even when you don't believe or don't say, or would say you have no faith, then that's okay as well. You don't have to, there's no one who wants to, yeah, no one wants to put their faith on you, so you don't have to take it all in, yeah.
Repelling this aid, just normalizing the discussions, because like if you don't know, you know, nothing to be ashamed of.
I think just being more open about who you are and what faith you follow. I remember when I was younger, I was probably the only person that I knew of that was gay and followed a faith. But I know that the more and more that we have, that people rise and say, oh, yes, I'm gay, or yes, I'm lesbian or transgender, and I identify with this faith, the more those discussions will become normal. And more other people will rise and be able to say, yes, I follow a faith as well. Because I kind of feel like at the moment, that whole discussion is being swept underneath the carpet. And people feel ashamed to come out and say, oh my gosh, I'm Christian, you know. But yeah, just more people being open about who they are, I think it will become normal, like my sister said.
Would you say it's like its own coming out process?
It's another closet on its own, but yeah, everything takes time, so.
And I think discussions are good because you shouldn't like assume things. You shouldn't assume that they like they are homophobic or that they follow everything in the Bible and stuff. But yeah, I feel like I relate to like the elephant in the room thing.
Definitely.
Because like, say you're in a queer space, the elephant in the room would be like your faith. But then when you're in like a church or somewhere, the elephant in the room would be your sexuality.
Yeah.
So it's like trying to balance. Mm. Mm.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we open up the circle for questions?
I just think that we're really fortunate to live here in New Zealand, because I've lived in Australia and been to so many protests where it's just like hate, you know, messages of hate towards our community, and I'm so fortunate that I live here in Aotearoa, where we're able to adapt the tikanga or tangata whenua and apply that in our settings of, you know, our daily lives, so, you know, it's normalised, like, within, you know, living here, we're able to open up more karakia. I don't think it offends anyone. Everyone just knows that that's the tikanga. You know, that's what we set before we start anything.
I was in Aussie for like a few days last year, and early last year, and the news was on, and they were discussing like gay marriage and stuff and marriage equality. And they were calling, like, being, like, gay and queer and stuff a fad. And it was making me, like, really mad that, like, here we're, like, we've got, like, gay marriage and stuff, and but there they don't. And we're kind of, like, cousin countries. So shouldn't we, like, I don't know, yeah, I don't know where I'm going, but...
We're quite advanced.
Okay, so I'm going to open up the round for questions, or if you have any experiences yourself of being a person of faith or coming from a background, that's fine too.
Got two questions. Firstly, possibly Christoph. I'm not quite sure how the Roman Catholic system is, but in Austria, do they follow the Pope?
Yeah.
So what's the kind of consensus of the current Pope and some of the more lenient kind of changes that he's advocating?
Well, I'm quite surprised with the new Pope, and I think what he, you have to think about the Pope as like this huge institution he has to change. And I think what he does in his term, or what he did already in his term, is quite significant. Even when people just see one line he says, I think it's very powerful, because everything he does has such a huge impact. And like all the bishops in Austria, they are assigned from the Pope directly. So in all the dioceses in Austria, the bishop follow what the Pope says, and when he reforms things. And there was quite a significant change from the last Pope, from Benedict to Franciscus, or Francis. And I think you can see it in the politics as well. As I said, in Austria, politics, especially from the National Party, they get advice from the Bishop Conference. And if the Pope changes the line, politics change in Austria as well. We are in Austria, the marriage is not opened yet, and there are other things still to be done. And Austria is one of the Western, very forward countries. And but in this sense, we are quite backwards sometimes as well. Yeah.
I feel like the Catholic Church is slowly moving forward, though. Like, since Francis has come into power, like, they're starting to acknowledge that, like, homosexuality is real, and that there needs to be, like, things put in place to protect that. Like, the Pope's given the okay for condoms to be used by gay men, which kind of, by way, gives permission for gay men to be having sex within the church, which is a small step, but it's a big step for the church.
For a lot of people, it seems hideous. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, yeah, he says that, but it's really, it's quite significant, because a lot of, like, aid organizations are based on the on faith, and they come from a faith background, like the Red Cross or Caritas, or all those organizations who work in these spaces are just quite linked to the church as well. Yeah.
And so, anyone on the panel, how does your faith consider the identity of God, and how is it like the same as the sort of most common idea of God being addressed as he and him, and how does that sort of align with your beliefs?
Yeah, I think so.
In our belief, he's not addressed as he or she. We address him as Adonai. We don't... In our belief, it is forbidden for us to know the actual name of God. So we use terms that translate to... which translate pretty much to God, not his actual name or her actual name. It's within our belief that even the angels have no sex. They're neither male or female. Feel free to ask your questions afterwards, because it goes really deep. Yeah.
What was your question? I just felt like that.
So kind of like, how do you feel about the way God is gendered? Because...
like, God's considered to be male by other people.
God is referred to.
Yeah, I think it's just... that's what I've been taught, and that's what we're familiar with, so we adapt to, I guess, by everyone. There's like a consensus that he's a he.
Do you feel like it maybe considers masculinity as, like, the natural... creation? Does it sort of prioritize, like, put masculinity on the higher?
Yeah, it does.
Higher step.
Yeah. Like patriarchal.
Yeah.
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 So my understanding is like when referring like to God as like a greater being to a point where it eventually turned into he, but actually it says God is good with, God was happy, so there was no, and probably need to have a look again, can't be certain what comes out of my mouth, but the thing is like man was made in his in his image, but we are his image, so so it's like doesn't matter, we are all his image, so that's my understanding of so in terms of he, it's irrelevant to me because if you were to believe that, then you are just a part of God.
I've had some interesting perspective from an intersex person who, from the idea that Adam was made in God's image, and then Eve was created from the bone of Adam.
And
the way this person took that was to see that so God has both this male and female intrinsic to them, and it was kind of this first human was made in God's image and then separated out into Adam and Eve. So yeah, that was just a perspective that I heard, which I think was really interesting.
Yeah,
I think another thing around that as well is it's important to take into account the fact that we're reading holy books that come from totally different traditions than what we understand in Western worlds.
Yeah.
Not only traditions, but also the languages that have been mistranslated time and time again. And so there are projects currently happening that are how do we accurately translate both Old Testament and New Testament, because remembering that the Old Testament are the books of Judaism, and the New Testament are the books of Christianity. How do we accurately translate those things so that they're actually portraying the actual meanings?
Yeah.
So, for example, when you look at the word Adam in Hebrew, it's Hadam, and Hadam was translated as Adam because they're like, oh, I guess it says the Adam. But often that's translated as human. And so that kind of theory works in as well. The other thing I was going to say around that is if you look at also language, so for example you look at the Pacific and all of our languages, we don't have gendered pronouns. You know, if you're talking about he, she or they, you're saying ear in Samoa. In New Zealand, in Māori, it's the same kind of concept where there's no gendering of our pronouns. And so when we're, you know, as a Pacific person who grew up in a Samoan language church, we don't talk about, you know, when we're speaking in Samoan, we're saying ia when referring to God, you know. And so all of that sort of language doesn't put gender to it. The gender comes in from a Western lens that's been imposed from early churches back in the early time after Christ. And so that the concept of God as male is a human made concept. And it does have a lot of political bollocks that's impacted on all of that ideology as well. So it's really good to deconstruct those ideas around what is the gender of God, but also I guess at the same time God doesn't have you know, this is my gender, because in those holy books it's not referred to as God has gender, it's just referred to as God is God.
Thank you.
And the only
Sorry, you saw the panel that was in, we were yesterday morning. So I touched on a little bit on religion, and First of all, I just want to say thank you to you guys for creating this space for us. Yeah. It's a very important area that needs to be discussed. And I know about a year and a half ago, I attended my first sort of event similar to this one, just before we... and I was always wondering when would that come up. And every time I'd write in the comments, what would you like to see? Like, please talk about region. Because it's something that we have... It's a very new space, like, for us to talk about the blending of both. And I guess for me, it's actually what I noticed during this talk, it's actually quite scary for me as someone who grew up Presbyterian background, enforced by my parents. And as a child, like, I really liked that space because, you know, that's where I grew up. And it's like friends, you know, you're learning, you've got good stories, colouring the pictures, you know, it was fun, you know, I loved it, you know, it was really. And then you get to a point where you're like, oh, hang on, you know, something is weird, like, it's, where do I fit in now? Like, if I feel like, and I had this complex where I was trying to do it because my parents, you know, enforced it, and not enforced it because I enjoyed it, but then I got to a point where I was like, oh, hang on, who am I? And then I spent like a lot of my years trying to do everything else right because I knew at the end I would probably disappoint him. So I was like, hopefully I'd do enough. And then, you know, I went through the whole try to pray for it to go away. Like, I went through all of that stage, and it was hard waking up every... I'm waking up every morning and it's still here, you know, so and it's hard because when I
take
your time. Okay. But, it's hard when you get to a point like you try really hard to find that space, that safe space. And then when I came out to my parents, they reinforced my fears back at me, like, you know, you should come to church, you know, you haven't been coming a lot, and you should have, you know, you got to pray about it. My dad tried to tell me, don't tell anyone, it's a phase, you know. And this is when I was 23, like, you know, so I'm a grown man, you know, I'm a grown woman now, I'm a dad. But, and then when I came into this space, I was, like, Peter and Ternice are, like, really good friends of mine, and Brittany from last year we met, and, you know, we get along really well. But it's still a scary space for even me to discuss with my really close friends, because that fear of disappointment. Like I said, I'm very open with
Diva pronouns. Diva pronouns.
You're a queen. Remember that.
Yeah, I'm very open with, like, respecting everyone's beliefs. Like I said yesterday, like, there's no one way to do your journey. But it's very hard for me to find that space where, is it okay for me to talk about how I might not necessarily be in that space anymore? But it's like, I kind of have this fear of, like, that I'll get rejected from a space again. So I just want to say, thank you. I hope we get to talk about more about these things in the future.
I guess this is for the whole panel, and I was just wondering if you guys had any advice for people who are have family members or people close to them that strictly follow a religion, and how to deal with, when those people get upset about you being who you are. Would you say it would be better to try to work through things with a person, or to, like, go your own way and to kind of distance yourself from the person?
The whole of my dad's side of the family is, like, heavily Christian, and my uncle is even, like, a Baptist minister. So for that, I don't really want to be in that environment where they're, like, putting me down and stuff. So for me, I would kind of distance myself. Yeah.
For me, I think, like, my family's really, like, comfortable, like, with me, and, like, they're really accepting now, but it's taken a really long time. And yeah, like for me, like if something comes up which I feel which is transphobic, I'm just like, that's not Christian-like. And you know, and I like to lead by my examples. And you know, if clearly if they feel like for me, I say I'm a Christian, but you know, both sides of my family are strong Mormons. And if I feel like, you know, they're targeting me because they're uncomfortable and stuff, I'll just say, that's not Christian-like. You know, praise you. Praise Jesus. Give it all to God. You know, things like that, just to remind them that this is the path that you're going and you have Christ in your life. This is, yeah, like, you know, he gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to come to this earth and die for us, for our sins.
Yeah.
Not for selected people. It's for everybody.
I think cling to those who you can trust in, the people that you who you know will be there for you. I mean, my dad was, he was, it took him like years for him to accept me for who I am, and now he's in a totally different space. But my mum, on the other hand, was really, really supportive of me. And she would always vouch for me, you know, to family members whenever I wasn't there, and they would complain about me bringing my partner or anything. So, whoever that support person is for you, cling on to them. And, you know, if you can name one person around your networks that will be there for you, to support you, to speak on your behalf, in those times where you don't feel confident to speak for yourself, definitely cling on to people like that, because they will help you through your journey, just like my mum did for me.
I'm definitely all for, like, although they're your family and, you know, that, I think it's a really hard situation to be in. I also think, like, totally don't change for people, you know, whether that's in a friend group or a family group, you know, like, you know, you're here, you're you, and I think totally embracing that and loving that. And I think it's all part of the journey, is figuring out where you want to sit. And as cheesy as it sounds, totally listen to your heart. You know, do what you feel is right. And, yeah, it's okay to ask for advice and stuff, but, you know, it comes down to your decision. So definitely do what feels right for you and in the moment. And, yeah, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, be patient. I think
patience.
I think often situations seem so hard at the moment, but... if you are patient, you will see that after time things change, and people just need sometimes shorter time and sometimes quite a long time to get things. Yeah, and it's a very emotional thing, and especially with faith, it's very emotional, and you can't put it down to just rational arguments, you know. And people argue with things they take out of the Bible, but behind it are very emotional messages. And I think what faith teaches is just loving someone else like you love yourself, and that's one of the most important lessons for me. And if you just address this this emotion with your family, I think that's a way to go. Yeah, but be patient. Yeah, it's not solved like this, you know.
Any last
questions? I guess I'm kind of similar to Rumi in that I have like quite a long history with grievances with the church, and I suppose my question for you guys that have been through that and had that kind of feeling like you're forced out of the church for being who you are, how did you then overcome that and overcome that pain and that hurt with the church? And, you know, take that step into going back in and, like, going back into a place that has not been safe for you in the past.
Yeah.
I think what we intend to do is we generalise the whole church. But for me, it comes down to, like, poor leadership. Because if the pastor's, you know, the pastor's not on board with who we are, clearly the congregation is just going to support the pastor because the pastor or bishop or, you know, he knows best. But for me, it's like, that's just poor leadership. And, you know, if there's uncomfort of you being in that church, for whatever reason, I would just say, go to another church. Because you'll see, like, you know, I know so many friends, like, within the Pacifica space that like even like some of my family, you know, extended family, they're like a part of this church, and then everyone leaves and they all start building their own churches because they're all having arguments with one another. Like, you know, it comes down to that poor leadership. Like, no, because I think this is the right way. And then someone's like, no, I think this is the right way. And like, when you think about it, I think that's how churches are built, because they all feel like this is the right teachings of the gospel. Yeah, so I would just recommend that you just go to try all different religions as well. Like, I've had the opportunity to, you know, like, for me, it's like a church is a church, and if they're not comfortable with me, that's fine, because that's their problem. Because at the end of the day, you know, you go to a place or you attend sessions like this for your own reasoning.
I think I'm a lot like Terenice in that when I went through that whole transition of finding out that I wasn't accepted at school, church, and at home, it was a process for me, and it's totally different for everyone at their own stages and their own path. But it was a realization for me that everyone in these different environments and their disapproval of me and my identity was a reflection more so of them than of myself. And that once I realized that, I had this huge 360 where I started to view myself differently. And I started to love who I was. I started to love my body. My mannerisms, the different things about me that I started to accept about myself. And then in turn, I found others who felt the same. So I kind of come from that place where, like, how you feel on the inside, you attract to yourself. You attract what you feel, basically. So,
And you'll probably see, like, a lot of people, they're like, I really feel sorry for you guys. And it's like, don't feel sorry for me. Feel sorry for yourself. You know, your mentality is so...
So small-minded.
But also, like, I think I'm all about the journey, you know? I think just embracing that journey, you don't need to rush back into anything either. Because it is almost like a grieving process, you know? Like, there is that lost to some sort of connection, if you've lost that connection with someone, with a congregation or whoever. And I think accepting that as part of your journey, as part of what you need to go through. I think personally, I haven't yet found a congregation that I'm, you know, connecting with. And I think I'm okay with that, you know, like my values haven't changed and that sort of thing. And I think it's just being okay that actually when I find the place, I'll know and I can be myself and that sort of thing. So I think it is all part of that learning and that processing of what's right for you. And like, it's okay to be selfish. Like, this is for you. This is your values. This is your congregation, if it's the right one, you know. And I think, yeah, just embrace it and enjoy it and be selfish.
One thing for me was very important to start the healing process for myself. You don't have to wait for someone else to start it for you. So don't wait until something start it for yourself and say, I want to see this as a challenge, as hard as it is, and get out stronger and come out stronger and show a different way to interact with other people. And that's my goal, to show people another way, a different way, and always think, why is this person attacking me? And I always think, where is this person coming from? And rather than seeing myself as a victim, it's more like, I'm sorry that this person had to go through this pathway to show their anger and fear by attacking me, and but it's for me the healing process starts within me.
So I think it's morning tea time, so I'd just like to thank the panelists and Remy as well for sharing such personal experiences and coming here today. So if everyone could give them a round of applause.
Thank you.
I'd also like to acknowledge that not all faiths were represented here today. So hopefully next year there will be a more wide range of people, but I'll also be posting up some relevant videos onto the Shift page for people to have a look at. And if anything has come up for you or you're feeling triggered, we've got Jono here today, or moons scattered around. So if we'd just like to close with a kind of thing.
Tēnei te Māori ka whakapiki, tēnei te Māori ka whakakake. Te Māori o tēnei tūpuna, te Māori o tēnei areke. Te Māori kei runga, te Māori kei raro, te Māori ka puta ki te whai ao ki te amārama. Uhi, wero, hara mai te Māori. Haumi e hui e, sāra ki e.